Hello, darling Rage Nation. This is Molly, your host, aka D Rage, because it just makes sense. Welcome to the show. Today we are talking with Silly Mugo. We are continuing our Rad as Fuck Women series, and I'm super excited to talk to Silly because she is also an artist like myself. Hi, Silly.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm doing great. trying to stay warm, but
oh, I totally get it. You live in Maryland, right?
Yes.
How cold is it there?
You know what? Today is not as bad, so I really shouldn't be complaining because we've seen worse, but we're going to hit a high of 28. So,
A balmy 28. I'm in upstate New York, and I think the high today is 10.
Oh, so yeah, I definitely cannot complain.
Well, it's all relative, right?
Yes, it sure is.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah. And I just met you via Instagram and I saw that you are, would you consider yourself like an abstract painter?
I am. Yeah. I would consider myself an abstract. Yeah.
Awesome. And I also saw that you just started going full time with your art in November.
So I guess I'm full time, but I still have a day job. So I say I have two full time jobs because, you know, it's like it's one of those things where it's like you have a day job, obviously, because that's, you know, sometimes you have to be responsible that way when you're starting your passion, you know, which is your side job. But then you put in what feels like another 40 hours a week into that as well. So
And for those people that know my story, that's what you have to do. Like you have to build it up till you get to a place where it's sustainable, and you know, that's how it works.
Exactly.
So before we did the official call, I always do like these tester calls, and we were talking about the whole idea of being an artist and going by that title in the first place, and you said that you're still getting used to that. So how's that been for you?
It's been great because, you know, I like it's one of those things where people see you as an artist, but you still it's like you have to do that double check in the mirror. Like, wait, is this really happening? Like,
yeah,
you know, people actually want to buy a part of me that I created, you know, and I think sometimes as artists, we sell ourselves short. And, you know, it's just like a natural instinct to not want to own it all the way and be like, okay, I am an artist. So I think that's something that I'm still growing into. And one of the things in 2018, that's my, you know, word is, you know, to be fearless.
Yes.
And one of the things about that is just really making sure that I do introduce myself that way. Like, yeah, I am an artist, you know, because it's like, I'm still, sometimes it's like subconscious, but you still, you know, sometimes you hold a part of yourself back when you should just go on like full force. And so that's what I kind of, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, I am an artist.
Get it, girl. Yeah. Actually, I think the whole accepting yourself as an artist and calling yourself an artist is the very first step in really owning that. I think it's in Lisa Congdon's book, actually, about art business. She talks about that in order for you to become an artist that actually makes money, you have to first recognize that you are in fact an artist unapologetically, which is a harder process than it looks like.
right.
Awesome. Well, have you always wanted to be an artist? Tell me more about your journey to this point.
So I would say I've definitely always been an artist. You know, since I was little, I first started sketching. And I always was just very creative, whether it was like I grabbed something and then I always like had this thing where I would get obsessed with it. So whether it was, you know, music or drawing or whatever it was, I was always just very into, you know, the creative process.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, one of the things that really brought me to where I am now, I'll say, is I was really huge into art, especially in high school. So I grew up in Kenya, and I moved to the US when I was 15, so sophomore year of high school. And you know, one of the things is that when we first moved here, I grew up speaking English. It wasn't my first language, but I grew up speaking it. But it was I had a really heavy accent when we moved to the US. So I remember one of the hardest things was, you know, making friends and being social. And art was that escape for me, that every free period I had, I was in, you know, the art class. And I remember, I'll never forget, my art teacher, Mrs. McBride. She was the best. And she, you know, that's really how I really got into it, is because I had no choice but to communicate in that way through art. And so, because I would talk and everyone would be like, huh, what? Because, you know, I had a really heavy accent at that time. So it just made me very, you know, I was kind of, you know, subconscious about that. And I just didn't really want to communicate in that way. So that's really when I started to really deep dive and go full force when it comes to art. But then I also knew that I had to, at some point, you know, get like a grown-up job and, you know, corporate America type of thing. But I always just love that creative process. I'm a writer at heart. I love to write, create, you know, fiction. So I've always, so that, yeah, it's always just been, I've just always, I have a vivid imagination. Sometimes I call it a wild imagination. Sometimes people have to bring me back to earth. But yeah, so it's always just been that way. So, you know, long story short, fast forward to November of last year. I always say I believe in affirmations. And so last summer I started telling myself that, I'm gonna, start an art business. Like that's my passion. I love what I do as my day job, but I would really love to be able to have like a passion project, something that I'm can really give my all to, where it's coming from that place of it doesn't take too much work. Cause you know, when you're an artist, it's like your escape and you do it out of love and it's not a job per se, you know, it's just one of those things that you really enjoy. So I said, hey, I'm going to do it. And I started just telling myself that. I was like, you know, I own an art business. Even if I didn't have any paintings to sell or anything like that, I just had that daily affirmation of, hey, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And then, you know, fast forward to November of last year, I finally, you know, launched my Etsy shop. And, you know, within the first month, actually barely 1 month, I, you know, sold like 10 or so paintings. And in my mind, you know, in some people's minds, it's not that much. But for me, it was like, whoa, I think that's when I started to be like, okay, well, I guess I should start to call myself an artist, because it's like, it's becoming a real thing, you know? So,
yeah, that's a big deal. And, what do you do for your day job? Cause you mentioned that you like that too, but now you're into this other thing as well.
So I work for, you know, a huge telecommunications company, but I'm on the business and government side. So I'm in a leadership position where I'm, you know, manage employees who are, say, account liaisons. So they are account managers for different accounts. So okay. We manage different projects and contracts and things like that. So I do love mentoring. And I think because I'm in a leadership position, that's why I really enjoy my day job. And it's one of those things I really love to, you know, mentor and see people succeed and, you know, fulfill their dreams. But I think I also at that when I started, you know, with my passion project, I'll call it, I needed to do something for me, where it was just something that I really could find myself, you know, kind of communicating in a different way to others other than what I typically do.
Yeah, absolutely. So was there any kind of like catalyst moment or something that really made you think, okay, it's time for me to really start this passion project?
Yes, actually. And it's so crazy because so I was at a women's conference last year. And we had, I forget her name, but she was on Shark Tank as she was on Shark Tank and she actually got a deal. She does these cupcakes in a jar. I don't know if you know her, but I think she's from Boston.
Okay. Originally. I feel like I remember that episode, but I have no idea what her name is.
Yeah. I don't remember. I think it's Tracy. It might be Tracy. Now I'll have to like look her up, but basically so she was the keynote speaker at this conference. And one of the things she went over was just her ability to, she was really passionate about business and she knew that the more people told her that she couldn't do something, it's like she was like negatively motivated, is the more she knew she had to prove them wrong.
Right.
And so I remember thinking that, it's like one of those things where I knew that I could, like, I'm an artist, But I had all these excuses in my mind where I just kept saying like, no, it's not going to work. I don't have enough time in a day. I have this, you know, I have to be an adult and have, you know, my day job, and I have all these things. And it was just like all of those things were just excuses. And I needed to just literally realize, if I really set my mind to something the way she did, then I could really basically do whatever I set my mind to. I think that was the moment that I was like, seeing how passionate she was about what she was doing, I was like, this is exactly what I need to do. And I started immediately. I remember going back to my hotel room because it was out of town. Mm-hmm. And I just started writing all, like, frantically writing all these things in my notebook, like what I'm going to do when I get home. And it had, you know, mostly, you know, to do with obviously the passion piece of it, but also the business side and the business strategies and all of those things. I just started to write them down. Like, I needed to put it into reality. So I think that was my moment of truth, I'll say, is when I really thought like, okay, I need to go home and I need to really start a business plan.
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like it kind of set you on a path to think like, oh, it is really possible for me to go after what I want to go after. Because I think it's so interesting that we equate artists and creative careers, or at least we have in the past in this country in particular, with like not necessarily being quote unquote real jobs.
Right.
When they absolutely are and can be. But it's interesting. So like, has your day job informed that in any way? Like, are you planning on going into art eventually as a full-time thing, or keeping it a side gig? Like, where are you at with that right now?
I think the biggest thing is, yes, I definitely wanted to be able to do research, and I have, and I've found so, I mean, thank God for social media. I've found so many amazing women who are, you know, really passionate about what they're doing. And they're, you know, they had a 9-to-5 at one point. And, you know, one of the things that I think is very possible, like you said, is that art and, you know, creative careers, they can be full-time careers. Mm-hmm. I think it takes more work than it does to just go in and interview for a job. Mm-hmm. And I think being able to think in that way of really having a strategy, to me, means that I would have to really put in that work. You know, like I was mentioning earlier, is that putting in 40 hours at your day job and then coming home and putting in another 40 hours at your other job, in, you know, your passion project, in order to make it a full-time thing. So I think, you know, it's all comes down to all the hard work, which I'm definitely willing to put in, because I would love to be able to you know, work, you know, my passion. Mm-hmm. But it's just a matter of really being able to be strategic and just, you know, because I think everyone, if you asked anyone if they would rather, you know, have their passion as their career, they would say absolutely. But it all comes down to, are you willing to put in the work, you know, to make it a reality?
Yeah. And it's really interesting, like getting the perspective where you realize you're going to have to work your butt off and have things that you don't like doing in like every career. So it's interesting, like as a full-time artist, a lot of people will assume like, oh, you just paint all day or whatever, but there's lots of tasks that are not fun that I don't enjoy that have to do with art. But it's really like, if you're going after what you really want and your passion, like you said, you're willing to do the hard parts of it. It's really like, I can't remember who said this, but someone said to me at one point, it's like, you got to just pick which shit sandwich you want to eat, because really there's like hardships and good things that come from everything. But if you're going the direction you want to go, then it makes the hard things about that thing a little less hard, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think the business side of it too, like I love, you know, everything to do with, you know, marketing and the business part and making sure, you know, branding and all of those things. But I think I didn't realize how much work goes into that, even just building a social media, you know, following and, you know, all of that. That is so much work.
Yeah.
And sometimes I spend, you know, since I have a limited amount of time to spend on my art business, I'll find that there's a night that I'll say, okay, I'll get home and I'll paint. But then I have all these other, like the admin side, and I don't get to paint for like 3 days. And I start getting really antsy. I'm like, oh my goodness, I need to get back to the easel. But it's like, there's so many of these other things that you need to work on. So yeah, you're right. But you know, when there's the passion behind it, then you find the purpose, and that just keeps you moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are some of the things that you've been able to learn about yourself through this process since November of you really diving into both full-time jobs?
I would say the one thing I've learned is to be, and that's why my word of the year is fearless, is to really not, don't worry about the consequence. And what I mean when I say that is, for example, at the end of the year last year, I said I was going to email a bunch of local showcases or coffee shops, places that showcase local artists. And in my mind, I was like, oh my goodness, I've only been doing this for a month and a half. Like, this is ridiculous. Why would I even think this would work? But guess what? I went on my email list and I emailed a whole bunch of different places. And I said, hey, I would love to, you're highly recommended by artists who showcase their work. And, some people would say hey, chill out for a little bit. Wait until you have, all of these kind of, I guess, excuses. But in my mind, I said, what's the worst that could happen? I guess that's my attitude. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to reach out. A no has never killed anyone.
No. And I mean, literally. if you're going to go for it, you might as well go for it. Like the people who are making it and who have made it into a full-time gig or whatever, or even just decided, this is their hobby and they love doing it. It's all about the action piece and being okay with the no's and the failing, because that's part of the process.
Right. So I think my thing that I've learned is that I'm really not afraid of failure. And I'm not afraid of getting a no, because I would rather get a no quickly and then move on to the next one. They're like, okay, that's fine. And then move on. You know what I mean?
And I think that's sometimes, powerful.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I've really learned about myself, is that I've never been that way. I've always been very timid and just, I'm always like, oh my God, but what if they say no? And what if it doesn't work out? But now I'm just like, you know what? I fail quickly and I just keep it on to the next one. And so that's what I've really learned just starting out with, with this business, is just that the answer is no, it's never going to kill you. You just, you learn from it. You take what could have made it a yes. And then you take it on to the next, the next one. And I think I would say that's the biggest part of what I've learned from just starting out. And I would give that as advice to anyone. Like, no, nothing is holding you back from being successful except for you. Sometimes we get in our own way.
Yeah, we do that a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's incredible to me how many conversations I've had with people who, like when I was first starting calling myself an artist again as an adult, because I was the same way, I always was an artist, but I never was comfortable until a couple of years ago calling myself that. And I had so many conversations with other people who were like, oh, I wish I could be as brave as you, or oh, I wish I could do what I wanted to do. And my response was always like, well, you can.
Right.
You have agency over your own life. You can make these choices, but I feel like everyone really has to go through the process and that journey themselves and realize, sometimes even get to a really bad place in their life to get desperate enough to start making their own choices.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's also just really, once you start to call yourself an artist, and this is, for any type of, medium, it could be, you're a makeup artist or a tattoo artist. I know you had a fabulous tattoo artist on your, on a previous episode. And
yes,
I mean, I loved hearing her story, but it's just like, it's one of those things where when you know that you're good at what you do, then you don't need that validation from other people, but you just know that you're good. So once you find those people who are your tribe that know how good you are, then that's all you need. So it's like one of those things where you just keep pushing forward because you know you're that good. Like, it's the, that just like self-confidence from within that comes from really being true to your art. And I think once you find that tribe, even if it's a small tribe to begin with, you just know, okay, there's those few people that really think my art is amazing. And those are the people that you need to just kind of get that energy from and keep pushing forward.
Yeah, and I love that what you said about just being true to your own art, your own voice, your own confidence. And the whole point of this podcast is like finding your voice and leveraging that. And it's a process, like it's the process of our lives. So when I say finding your voice, what does that make you think of in terms of your own life?
I think So when I think about finding my voice, I would say that finding something that is a piece of you that you can share shamelessly.
Yeah.
You know, like as artists, I feel it's probably one of the bravest professions.
Yes, indeed.
Realize it, because when you create something, you give a piece of yourself to whatever you're creating. And yep. Not only that, but then you have the, you know, I'll say like, you know, you have the balls to actually share with the public, you know,
you're and getting naked in front of the world, basically.
Yeah. And so I think when I think about finding my voice, it's that I've never been that brave until now, where I feel I can create something and I can unveil it to the public, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's on Instagram or whether it's hanging up in a, you know, coffee shop right now and people are walking in and out. And I don't feel any shame whether or not somebody finds it really beautiful or finds that it speaks to them or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. I've been able to like unveil that and be shameless about it. And I think that's what I would say is me finding my voice through my art. It's just being really vulnerable and giving a piece of me mm-hmm. every time I create something.
That's amazing. And it sounds like, I mean, you've gone through this whole process of your life and it's been like this whole journey and undertaking to this point where it's started to blossom in a way that it hadn't before, where right. you really have like that confidence. And so I kind of want to go back a little bit because you mentioned that you lived in Kenya until you were 15.
Right.
And because I know nothing about living in another country and then moving to a different country, I'd love to know more about that part of your story and if that has informed your art in any way.
I would say that the biggest thing about moving and kind of like getting acclimated, I'll say, to the American culture was one of the things was definitely the, obviously the cultures were different. So I grew up in Kenya, which is in East Africa. And so things are very different from, I mean, when you think about it, just we're very heavily influenced by like everything British and European. So mm-hmm. it's just coming from just even the language factor. You know, we call elevator a lift and truck is a lorry. I mean, whatever all the words you can think of, you know, a trunk is a boot. I mean, so many things. I'm going to the loo instead of the bathroom.
Right.
I mean, there's so many things. We don't call them pants. We call them trousers. Mm-hmm. I can go on and on and on.
I feel like, this is a total aside about the pants thing, but like, doesn't pants in like European vernacular mean underpants?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Because that was something my sister worked in London for a while and she came back and said that, like, that was one of the first stories she told. She was so I said like something about my pants and got totally embarrassed because I didn't realize that I was talking about underpants.
Right. Because trousers are pants. Right. Like, you know, even if it's jeans, they're still trousers. Pants. So it's like all of, so that's just like, when I say that, that's obviously just the surface with, you know, some of the language things, but just those so many differences. And so, so I think when you are new, when you're in a new environment, some of the things that happen are you really get to study your environment and you study people around you and how they do things and how they interact. But it also makes you have to find a happy place where you still feel like you're comfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, even if you're learning new things, you're still comfortable. And so I think that's why I gravitated towards art, because I knew no matter all the other things that I was very uncertain about, and I really, you know, with my really heavy accent and things were just so different, and I was trying to wrap my head around those things, I knew mm-hmm. art was still the same. Because art, no matter where you're from, it's still just an expression of self, you know what I mean? And it's like something that comes from within. So so I think that was why I gravitated towards art so much, is because I definitely, it was huge culture shock. Just, you know, thinking back now, I mean, just so many things. Anything you can think of that is different was different.
Yeah, well, and even like on a level deeper than language, what was like the hardest thing that was most striking, I guess, about differences? I'm sure, like you said, there was a ton, but
Yeah, I would say language for sure. I would say also in Kenya, I was like very outgoing. Let's put it that way. I was outgoing and I was like really loud and I was really out there. And so that was my personality. I was always just like very, like giddy and just like really a bubbly personality. But then when I first moved here, and that was sophomore year, so you talk about being a teenager, you have all of these other things you have to worry about internally as a teenager, young girl becoming a woman. And then on top of that, just like I was used to being popular, let's put it that way, when I was back home in Kenya. And then I moved here, and then the whole thing of popularity. So growing up in Kenya, popularity really came with how well you did in school, like your grades. Believe it or not. It's like the better grades you had, the more popular you were.
I mean, that sounds like it should make sense.
Right? And so and yeah, so I was like, that was my life. And then I moved and it was not the same. I was getting really good grades, but nobody cared. So those are like, I would say those are some of the things that I really I would say were some of the differences that really get you to think just very differently. You have to just really start to think, okay, so what's really important, and then how am I gonna get through? It's already hard enough getting through high school, and then getting through high school with those types of things. But it just definitely gave me a lot of character. I mean, I knew for a fact, just by grad, by the time I graduated high school, that there were, I could just overcome all sorts of adversity. I mean, there was nothing that I couldn't do if I really decided I'm gonna find the spot that's most comfortable for me, and that's how I'm gonna kind of, excel. So I think that's why art was such a huge part of my high school life.
Yeah, that's so empowering too to get to that place where, and that speaks to like the strength of your personality and your character to where you could, even as a high schooler, be like, okay, what works for me? And kind of get into that sweet, because that can't be easy at all.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, absolutely. But it sounds like as you've gone through this process of, after you graduated and like maturing and getting a job and doing all of these things that you do as an adult, does it feel like you've kind of recovered your more confident like personality? Because that's what it sounds like to me.
I think I have. I think the biggest thing was for me, I'm a communicator. I love to talk. I love having like debates and different, kind of just intellectual conversations. And at the time, I couldn't because I just wasn't able to fully express myself because of the whole accent thing. And so I think the more that, when I went to college in Connecticut. That's actually where I first moved to when I first moved to the United States. I
Oh
lived
my
in
goodness.
Connecticut. Yeah.
Like
Until,
of all the places to move to, like every
yeah.
state is so different culturally, but I'm like
Yeah.
thinking about the transition from Kenya to Connecticut, and I'm
Connecticut,
sure that
right.
was intense.
Yeah. And so, so one of the things that really helped me actually was because when I went to college, I was a theater major. So there you go, another art. And so theater helped me definitely get out of that my comfort zone and really be out there again, because you had to take acting classes and film classes, or you had to really talk about your perspective on different things, and then also like behind the scenes and work with the crew, and all of these different things really made me I think that's what brought my confidence back, because I was in my element artistically and I was in that creative kind of atmosphere with everyone, and I think that's what really brought me back. So I guess me, I've just always, if I'm surrounded by like artists, even if it's just different types of artists, I think that's been my element, and that's what brings out like the best, I would say the best in me. So that's what really helped me regain my confidence, is when I went to college and I was in theater, and it was all about that, and I was writing at the time when I started as a theater major. I really wanted to write scripts, like screenplays and plays, and I still do, but I'm more into my visual art now. But it's just that's really what brought back that confidence for me, I think, was being surrounded by other artists. And then artists have a way of connecting with each other. And that's why I even say, like, I always say thank God for social media, because I have not connected with people on social media ever other than, like, my fellow artists. And that's regardless of what, you know, art. It's just artists just have a way of connecting with each other. I don't know what it is, but it's just something that you just can't explain and, like, put in words. Right. But that's, it just always makes people, you know, it just brings out the best in you and your confidence and all of that. And I'm finding that even on Instagram, even if I haven't been doing it for a long time, I have, you know, even other artists in my inbox, like, you know, oh my goodness, I had been thinking about, you know, finally starting a shop, and I see you're starting a shop, so I'm going to start my shop. And I'm like, go for it. That's why we have this community. Like, it's to show you anything is possible. So I'm all in there like, yeah, just do it. I may not still know half of what I'm doing, but hey, let's just do, you know what I mean? Just
that step. Well, and there's something powerful about not caring, you know, where you're at. I mean, you could just be like one step ahead and be empowering people, you know? Right. And I love that you're not shying away from that, because it's true, especially on Instagram. That artist community is crazy. And
it really is.
It's amazing, because it feels like this brand new frontier of, like, community over competition. And everybody really, like, building each other up. And everyone is kind of coming together and feeding off of each other's energy and empowering one another. And I'm interested, too, to find out from you, how did you decide? I mean, did you decide to do abstract painting? Did it kind of, like, just come naturally? Like, what was the thought process behind that? Because there are so many abstract painting artists right now, especially on Instagram, and I kind of love it, because it feels like we're in a movement or something.
Right. Seriously, it's like, yeah, it really is. Here's what I will say. I think that my reason for doing abstract work is because my regular job requires me to be very analytical, and like, I'm looking at it, like, Excel spreadsheets and, like, all this stuff that you have to really pay attention to and be very organized, and, you know, everything is, like, in order. So I needed that escape when I'm not doing analytical work, that I needed to be able to be free. And I think abstract art is so freeing, because you just it's just the paint and the, you know, paintbrush to the canvas, and it's kind of like a spirit. You just let your spirit move with what you're doing. And I would say, me personally, that's why I needed to do abstract work, because I needed to just have that freeing, like, escape from that. You know what I mean? Just so it's not so organized and so planned, you know?
Yes. I love that. It's so, I love it. I love that, the way that you put it, that letting your spirit just move you and just letting it be very intuitive. It is so freeing compared to other forms of art. And that's probably why it's such a popular movement right now, is that a lot of people feel like they need that outlet for their voice to be free.
Yeah, exactly. So I would, I love it. I mean, I think maybe at some point down the road, if I was doing it full time, I may do, you know, more of the more detailed, you know, but for now, I just love how freeing it is, and just how easy, I feel like it comes easy, you know, that way. So
yeah, well, it'll be interesting to, like, keep following your journey and seeing, like, when you kind of hit a plateau and decide to innovate a little more with your voice, because that happens the more that you push into it. I'm actually in one myself where I'm just kind of bored.
Yeah.
So I'm just starting to play with different mediums and different things, and cool stuff is happening, but it's interesting. You get to different seasons in your artistic journey and you're like, okay, I think I'm ready to try something different here.
Right.
So that's awesome. Well, to kind of close it out, what piece of advice would you give to either, like, the audience or your younger self, if you could pick one piece of advice that's been just really life-changing for you?
I would say going back to just my word of the year, I would say to just be fearless. And I think be fearless not only with the outward, so people that are around you and the public, but even with your own self, give yourself limits that you know you otherwise would have never set for yourself, and like try to reach them and try to achieve them, because sometimes we do get in our own way and we don't give ourselves enough credit. And once we give ourselves that, like set a goal that's way higher than you would have ever imagined, and watch the magic happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I would say that, that would be the biggest, the biggest thing that I would say for anyone starting out, for anyone that's already doing it, no matter what, you know, medium of art that you're into. I mean, just set those goals, farther than you think, and watch yourself just make that magic happen. And you'll look back and be like, wow, I'm pretty much the bomb.com type of thing.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Well, I love it. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Oh yeah, it was a blast. I'm so glad I got to chat with you today.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll continue. I'll put links to your Instagram and stuff on the show notes when this goes live, and so that other people can follow your journey as well.
All right. Well, thanks so much. And you enjoy the rest of your day. Stay warm.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Thanks.
Bye, Philly.
Bye.
Wasn't that episode so good? Thank you so much for tuning in. If you are enjoying the Rad as Fuck Women series on this Darling Rage Nation podcast, I would love for you to leave some love on an iTunes review. That just helps the podcast get out there to more people and in front of more listeners and gain more momentum. So if you've been enjoying this, if you've been getting anything from this series, I would love for you to leave a review. Another way that you can help the podcast is by joining our Patreon Insiders by going to patreon.com/darlingrageinsiders. There you can get all kinds of bonus content and even access to a secret Facebook group where I will be sharing interviews and a chance for you to get interviewed on the podcast yourself. So if that's something that you're interested in, patreon.com/darlingragenation. Once again, thank you so much for joining us today. You guys are freaking incredible. Have a fantastic day, and as always, rage on, darlings.